Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 63rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Michelle Kanyambo, who is from the small and beautiful country of Rwanda, East Africa, also known as the Land of a Thousand Hills. Michelle was raised in a small community, then studied in Belgium, and then returned to Rwanda where he worked as a judge before coming to the United States in 2010. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Michelle.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Let's start in Rwanda. What can you tell us about Rwanda that would help us picture it as you see it in your heart?
Thank you very much. The first thing I can tell you is that Rwanda is a very beautiful country, and I miss it very, very much. And there is a big change about Rwanda right now compared to where it came from. And just remind that in 1994, the country went into genocide, the genocide that took the lives of 1 million people. And from that moment until now, there have been a big change in terms of peace, in terms of stability, in terms of development, in terms of so many other things you can be amazed of when you get there.
It's one of the more stable countries in that region at this point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So it's one of the most stable and peaceful country in the region right now.
And one of the most populated.
Exactly.
Very
it's
densely.
Very populated.
I think yes. It said the 12th most populated country in the world.
I think so, yes. I think so, yeah. We are very populated. Because it's a tiny country and there's not a much land, these people live close to one another.
And they live in mostly rural environments, don't they? A lot of subsistence agriculture?
Yes, I think right now it's 80% of Rwandese live by agriculture. So the rest of the population, we have live in cities, and the big city is Kigali. It's very populated, but we have also other cities, but most of people those who don't do agriculture, they live in Kigali and the different cities. Yes.
And you grew up in a small town, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about what that might have looked like. How can we picture that?
You mean the small town?
Yes, your life in the small town. What was your family structure like, your housing, your school?
Thank you. I was grew up not in the city, but in small towns. And then we live traditionally, not in big houses and not in those good infrastructure. And I mean infrastructure. But It's a traditional family where we live in traditional houses, but until we moved to a big city, Kigali, but life in a rural area is also good compared to the trouble of big cities. Sometimes people would like to stay in the rural area than to be in big cities where they face big challenges and big trouble sometimes.
Isn't it some of the most fertile land?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
So people probably had plenty from their gardens in the rural areas.
Exactly, yeah, they do.
What kinds of things were grown in your family's garden?
People have the habit of planting bananas and avocados and some other plants like potatoes and all land, because we have a small land. Every Rwandan would like to have benefit from the land that they would cultivate and put plants they could benefit from, like bananas, avocados, and some other thing they can use like food.
Cassava?
Cassavas, yes, for some.
And yams or sweet potatoes?
Yes, sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. And this regular potato, yes. And there, if you can have a place to put those, then you will sell some and eat some, eat the rest. That's how people live in there. Hmm. Yes.
And your family, did you have a lot of people in your family?
Yes, I grew up in a big family. I am the last in my family. I have six brothers and had also three sisters.
Wow. Yes. Yes, that is a big family.
Yes,
you're going to need a lot of sweet potatoes.
Exactly. Exactly, you're right.
And the traditional architecture, would that be adobe or a stick and thatch kind of?
Yes, I think it would be adobe. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That's how it would be, yeah.
Nice.
You're right.
So did you go to church when you were a kid?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian family. So we were raised by mother and dad who were Christians, and we were taught to believe God and to respect God. Always you go to church on Sundays and also other days. And that's how I grew up. I end up to be in a choir in the church where I was singing when I was a kid. And then, so I am a Christian until now. I believe in God and I practice. I go to church every Sunday and every other day whenever I have time.
Every other day you go here?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And do you go to a church that is mostly Africans or do you just join in a church that's near your home?
Right now, here in Maine, we have an African church and that's where I go. But when I have the opportunity to visit other churches, I go. And it's also good to go see the diversity, to visit different church, to see how they praise God. It's also amazing to see.
Hmm.
Yes.
So if I were to go to your home country of Rwanda,
yes,
I could possibly go as an eco-tourist.
Yes.
Right, there are three national parks in your country.
Yes.
I wondered if you could tell us about them.
Oh, we have good parks, and we have a lot of tourists come from all over the world to come visit our parks. And we have Akagera National Park. We also have Nyungwe National Park and also Volcano Park. All those parks have amazing things to see. To visit animals that you could never see any other places in the world.
Mountain gorillas.
Like, yes, gorillas and monkeys and some zebras and giraffes. So we have amazing animals and that could attract any person. And we have for people from Europe, Americans right now, are many in Iran that come to visit our parks. And they are really excited when they see gorillas. They have never seen them before.
I have to say, I'd be one of them. I think that when I meet someone from a different country, one of my habits is to go and look at Google images.
Yes.
And it gives you so many questions about their lives. And, of course, your country is stunningly beautiful, and the mountain gorillas are just thrilling to see.
Exactly.
It feels like National Geographic.
Yes, it is beautiful, I promise. You won't be disappointed when you go there. You will love it.
And it also, if you look at a map of Africa, there's a little speck in the center, and that's Rwanda.
Yes.
And inside that, there is savanna.
Yes.
There's mountain,
yes.
Very jungle.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like forest. And then you have volcanoes.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing for
such
a little country to have so many different ecosystems.
It is. So many wonders. So many wonders down there.
So in 2010, you left Rwanda and you found yourself in Maine. And I wondered if you could help us understand how you got started and eventually found your way to such a meaningful and productive job.
Thank you very much. It wasn't easy. Any transition is very hard to handle. So from Rwanda to USA, and the first priority was to find my status first to get my asylum approved. And then I wasn't lucky enough because it took me more than 2 years to get my asylum approved. And I can say that I struggled because I left my family behind. And I couldn't get a job. And then the small job I got could allow me to help them back home, also to help myself. And then I was lucky in 2012, I got asylum approved. And then I petitioned for my family. My family came here. And then after being settled, then I set up other goals. How can I fit myself in this society? How can I find a job? And then I set up goals, and then I set up strategies to reach my goals. Then I went to school. I went back to law school. I did. I took some classes, studied hard, and then until I finished the classes I was taking. And then after that, I was ready to compete and get a job that I liked. Until now, I thank God I got a job that I really like.
Yes, and it's still less than 5 years since your arrival.
Yes.
And you've gone from an unstable status to fully employed.
You're right, yes.
Do you think that 5 years is a predictable timeline for most immigrants that are coming in to get their feet under them, get their status settled, and get meaningful work?
No, it depends on everybody. So many people come here without English knowledge. So, and they have to start from the scratch and build the life from ground to up. And then, so for the first priority is to learn English first, and then it will take them a long time. And then after learning English, when they think they are now able to go outside and compete for other opportunities, then they will spend a lot of time. It will take them more than 5 years. Some can even take more than 10 years. So it depends on everybody's level and capacity to learn easily and opportunity. Also depends on chances. The chances are different from one person to another.
Absolutely. Right. Yes. Down to how many people are waiting to have their status filed.
Exactly.
You can wait more than 2 years for asylum
status. Oh, my God. I know people have been waiting for even more than 5 years. They haven't been approved yet. They haven't even been at any hearing, so that's crazy.
So many chances involved.
Exactly.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Michelle Kanyambo, who's a lawyer and judge, originally from Rwanda, and now a legal assistant and AOR Specialist for the Catholic Charities of Maine organization. If you go to the Catholic Charities website, you'll click on Refugee and Immigrant Services and see that they offer many services. Some of the services offered there are case management, corporate training, elder services, employment services, integration and translation services, mentoring programs, legal services, and affidavit of relationship. This is a pretty impressive offering.
Yes, it is.
And very helpful to New Mainers. But today,
yes,
I was wanting to talk mostly about the last two on that list and the two that you are involved with.
Yes.
And could you tell us about the AOR program and what all that is?
Thank you very much. A AOR program is a program about family reunification. And you know that refugee, when they came here, the next thing is to bring their family members to this country. And then this affidavit of relationship program, it helps either asylees or refugees to bring their family here. And we help them initiate the application. And we help them doing the application. And then we help them sending the application to wherever has to go. And then we help them to follow up with the application. And then we stay in communication with them and telling them the evolution of their application until their family members are here. And it's not, but unfortunately, it's not all asylee or all refugee do qualify to this program. There is a list of countries, and the people from those countries are the ones that qualify for the program. And I don't know if I have enough time to say the list of the countries, which are Afghanistan, Bhutan, Burma, Burundi, Central African Republic, Colombia, Cuba, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Democratic Republic of Congo, El Salvador, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, Iran, Iraq, Mali, Somalia, South Sudan, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Syria, and Uzbekistan. Those are the countries, then the people from those countries, if they live here in the U.S. and if they have a legal status, and then they can come here to our office. We can help them make the applications.
And your office is on Sherman Street?
The office is 80 Sherman Street in Portland.
Great.
Yes.
And so that is not every country. And can you tell us why that's not every country or what countries get chosen?
I think this is not every country, of course, but I think by each year they change the list. They may add another country that is not on the list, or they can even remove a country on the list and put another one. It so depends on the government. The U.S. government depends on how the situation of the country they want to add on the list. I think that's how they do it. So they may add or they may not add. So they may take off a country, put another one, depends on of their choice.
And the choices are made by the U.S. Department of State?
Yes.
State Department?
Yes.
Yes. And so
yes.
Based on quotas for immigration?
Exactly.
They may or may not have room for people from different countries?
Yes, sure.
So
yes.
If you are curious if your country is on that list, you can go to ccmaine.org, that's Catholic Charities website, go to the Refugees tab and click on the AOR program. That's Affidavit of Relationship. And you can see the countries too. Do most people know what the word affidavit means?
I think many people don't know what the word affidavit means. And it's just affidavit means a petition or a declaration. And then Affidavit of Relationship means just an application to bring your family here. It's just a simple word. It's just an application.
Yeah, it's a big word to mean official document.
Exactly,
right?
Official document. Thank you.
So this is a wonderful program for reunited families. Do you get to be there when families get reunited?
Yes.
Do you?
We have other social workers and case managers who'd go to the airport and pick up, and when family get reunited, it's very amazing. So we help them from the beginning to the end until they get resettled and until they get. And our Catholic Charities program has, I think, a program that help them to settle until they are self-sufficient.
Wow.
Yes.
That must be very rewarding.
It is very rewarding, yes.
So one of the things they say in the brochure is that you can bring a close relative. I wondered if you could specify what you all consider a close relative.
Thank you very much. And that a close relative means either a spouse, a child, parent. And if your parents have some dependents, like their children, means you can bring those people who are under your parents' responsibility. They may either be your sisters or your brothers, but the main point, they have to be under 21 years old, and they can be over, and they have to be unmarried and under 21 years old. And if you want to apply for your children, they also have to be under 21 and unmarried at the time you want to apply for them. And the applicant also has to be either a refugee or has been granted asylum in this country. For those are the two types of people who qualify, either asylees, people have been granted asylum, or people who were brought here in this country as refugees. Yes.
So if people need to double check, they can call you, right?
Yes, exactly. If people need to double check or to talk to us about the program, our number is my number, and the office number is 207-523-1160.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If they need a translator to talk to you, is that possible?
Yes, we provide a translation. We provide interpreters. So if somebody doesn't speak English, you need an interpreter. We do provide interpreters.
So go to Sherman Street and make your wishes known.
Exactly. Sure.
Excellent.
Thank you.
This is not the only program that you supervise or work in.
Yes.
What can you tell us about the CAM project?
Thank you very much. There is another program similar to this one, but this one is specific for Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. And this is a new program that U.S. government has established to help children from these three countries that I mentioned to come in this country safely. Like you know, there have been a lot of violences, child abuse in those countries, and the level of violence is very high. And those children try to come to this country illegally, and they are caught and they are abused at many levels. And this program helps parents who are here in the U.S. And they are from those countries to petition to apply for their kids whom were left in the country, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. But there is a condition. The parents have to meet certain criteria. They have to be lawful resident of the United States, and who are under either one of these following status. They have to be either permanent residence status, they have to be either in temporary protected status, they have to be parolee, they have to be deferred action for childhood arrivals, with what we call DACA. They have to be either deferred action non-DACA recipient or deferred enforced departure recipient or withholding of a removal grantee. Those who are under those categories, they do qualify for the CAMP program. And they can also come to our office for more explanation and details. Then we can help them do the application for their children.
Wow. So this program is called Central American Minors. That's
yes.
The CAM.
CAM means Central American Minors, of course. And it's a specific program for those three countries already mentioned.
How many people have come to you for this program so far?
Because I am new at the Catholic Charities, so far I have started two applications for the Central American Minors, and one has already been approved, is in under process. Another, I'm still working on it. And I also have five other appointments. And a lot of people also call me to ask information and to get to know the program.
Yes. So these are unsupervised children that are here?
Yes. It's not unsupervised. The parents who are here and have left children in their country.
Oh, I had it backwards. I thought
yes.
It was for the children who came.
No.
It's for the parents who've come to
exactly.
Retrieve their children from
exactly.
El Salvador, Guatemala.
Exactly.
And
Honduras.
Honduras,
yes.
Should, thank you.
Yes, the parents are here in the U.S. and have a legal status, one of those categories I have mentioned. And then they can apply for their children whom they left.
This sounds very
home.
Much like the affidavit program.
It is
but
also.
It's specific.
Yes, it is also AOR, but CAM AOR, specific for Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador.
Ah, thank you. That cleared that up for me. I
yes.
appreciate that. So
thank
how
you.
Many people do you have working at the AOR program?
So far, AOR program, we have assisted a lot of people, so many people. And because this program, it's an old program compared to the CAMP program. So far, we have more than 50 applications that I handle right now, and some are old and other are new, but we are very busy office. I can tell you.
Yes. How many people are employed in your office?
I do actually. I work myself, but I have a supervisor. Her name is Judith, and she supervises me. And actually, I can say that we work together. We are two people working in this department.
Oh, it's very
yes.
meaningful work.
Thank you.
You
very
must
much.
Be a hero in your community.
Yes.
People want to get to know
it's
you.
It's very helpful. Yes.
If there are interested listeners that might want to learn more about these programs and even contribute in some way as a mentor or in some other way, what ways might people become involved at Catholic Charities?
Thank you very much. We have a website, and we accept volunteers, and people can come and depending on what they want to volunteer for, and they can. We have a website, and like you said, and www.refugeeimmigrationservicesccm.org, and they can go there and find the programs, and if they want to volunteer either in either one of the program, they can come or they can call. Either way they choose, but we are very welcoming, and we want people who can come and help.
That's great.
Yes,
thank you. That's how you got your start, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I also started as a volunteer with Catholic Charities. I volunteered as a mentor. I also helped in interpretation services until a position was available, and then I said myself, why not? Why shouldn't you apply?
And they knew you, too.
And then they knew
it's
me.
Great strategy for getting your foot in the door.
Exactly. And then I was lucky to be selected and got in the job.
And if you are a Mainer who's very interested but doesn't have any time, but you do have furniture, it's possible to contribute your furniture too, because part of the Refugee Resettlement Services is setting up new apartments. And so I know that they're always looking for help, as well as other organizations like Furniture Friends. So go volunteer. This is a way to get involved in the community.
Exactly.
Michelle, you are a very warm person, and I just love that you're getting to share your expertise as a lawyer and judge with other people working through Catholic Charities.
Thank you very much, Kate. You are a very, very wonderful person.
Oh, you're kind.
It was very wonderful to meet you.
You're making a difference in people's lives, creating more peace and joy.
Thank you.
Just think of bringing families together, what that means for people's success in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in the
studio today. You're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Michelle Kanyambo. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us. And Michelle, will you introduce this song that you've selected to our listeners?
Thank you very much. The song is Zira Vumera. I just miss my country. I just want to listen to this song from Masamba. He's a singer from my country, Rwanda. Enjoy that.
Thank you.
Baye nyigo e kamera kondo anze bisani bikubana igihe nibazi byizonzozi numve mirindi yabahizi Kamariva yamakira n'umukenyuzi kesha n'uzi yikivanye Chema, si wiririze, mazinyangamu.